One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Okay, I'm going to... Oh.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get it. I can't see me. I mean, I don't need me. Let's just go with that. I'm back to just being little at the top. But when I go gallery, it just gives me you and none of me. Oh, no, there I am. We're back. Let's go.
Welcome to Drum and Drummer, a podcast focused on drums, drumming and drummers. I'm George Pickering and that's Ben Winty, and we are both professional drummers in this business we call music. So stick around and join us as we pass the time whilst trying to stay in time.
I'm doing a croissant making course on Sunday. Do you want to hear about that?
Okay, yeah.
Because we are scraping the barrel today.
Everyone listening, it's time for Drum and Drummer. All right.
And then have the intro there?
Don't know. Probably not. Oh. Maybe. Oh. See how I feel when I edit this. Maybe I'll put the second half first and the first half second.
Play
it's January.
Backwards.
It's January. Anything can happen.
Anything could happen.
Could be Maverick. How are you getting on in the January blues?
It's good. It's cold though, isn't it?
Yeah, cold today,
really,
isn't it?
Really Ooh. Cold. Snowed yesterday. Did it snow at yours?
There was a few. Saw a few flakes.
Yeah.
Saw a few flakes. Nothing settling.
No.
But yeah, I decided to walk in to work.
Yeah.
A rare day where it's not raining.
Yeah.
But, ooh, cold.
Yeah, it's cold.
So I put my big coat on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that your Jurassic Park coat?
No, that's the thin coat. That's the that's the thin waterproof layer that you have when you need waterproof but not heat. You know. So I think I need a new big coat.
Yeah.
I'd like a new big coat. I've got a big coat.
Yep.
I've had it for years. It's good. It's warm. It's durable.
Yeah.
It's waterproof. Good pocket selection.
That is good.
You know when you unzip a jacket... Then now I've got a pocket sort of on the left breast. There's like a little zip pocket. And I'll tell you why it's good. It's good for putting your possessions in, walking around a big city like New York. You don't want to be having your wallet and phone in your back pockets or anything like that.
No.
Absolutely mental. Keep them close to the chest, literally.
Yeah.
Safe and sound.
Also, if you get shot, you know... There's a chance the wallet might save you as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, that could be a good story. I'm going to throw away a pair of jeans. Or I mean, like, not literally. Put them on Vinted. Get a few quid. Because, I'll tell you for why. A very specific reason that I don't like them. The pockets are too sort of deep. So,
right.
This is a very specific thing.
I know the sort.
Do you know what I mean? So, basically, if I put
my
phone...
You put your hand in and you go, whoa!
Well, yeah, but if I put my phone in any jean pocket, like the ones I have now, it just stays in the position it's put, and it's fine there.
Yeah.
But these ones, you put them in, and it sort of goes the other way around. Like, it doesn't stay straight. It goes sideways, and then it's sort of across your inner thigh, and it just feels awkward, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't like... The jean, they fit well, sure. But
fit bloody too well.
Yeah, this is the problem. So, I'm going to get rid of a pair of jeans because of that, which I think is valid. You know what I mean? If you're not comfortable in them, why wear them?
Well, you know, I can clearly see you are now a man approaching 30.
Yep, this year.
Where comfort is king.
And also, everything I wear is not only comfort, but I didn't buy this hat, as we know. Found it in a bin. These jeans I'm wearing today, a friend of mine at work gave them to me. She bought them for her son and said he don't want them. are still in the packaging. Do you want a pair of jeans? I said yes. So not only
what
comfort,
jeans come
also,
in packaging?
Well, you know what I mean, as in like she bought them off ASOS.
Ah, right, yeah.
They came,
yeah.
So not
I'm
just
grateful,
comfort,
son.
But also, yeah, exactly. But
was that a Christmas? Was it an unwanted Christmas present?
No, apparently she bought them and then they were just in her car for about a year. So they've just been in her car for about a year. And then
ungrateful son, forgetful mum.
Yeah, but perfect size. 32 waist. Thank you very much.
All right, oh, show off.
Yeah. Let's get that in.
My waist size what is talk about? Elastic. That's what my waist size is. Flexible.
Shall I tell you about the pub quiz I went to last
oh,
night?
Oh, yeah, go on.
I got very lucky with the questions. So,
which drum kit manufacturer?
That? Yeah, it may as well have been. So one of the questions was...
Jay Sikora was the drummer for...
One of them was, Favourite Worst Nightmare was an album released in 2007 by which band? And as soon as he said Favourite Worst, I was like, well, it's Arctic Monkeys, you know.
Of course, yeah.
And there was a lot of them like that, you know, who's the lead singer of Tenacious D? Just things like, you know, how many keys are there on a piano? 88. Yeah. Just all these little... It was almost like I wrote the quiz myself.
Who was the Cuban like, leader?
Yeah. What did you bet?
It's not important what I put, but...
But, but then those were the first two rounds, and I was thinking, we're doing pretty good. And then the last round was the music intros round. Huh. And they just gave me the sheet of paper, team of six, and they went, George, you can do this. And it felt so good, because every tune, because he sort of did 70s, 80s, you know, up to the what do you call them, teenies, tens?
Teenies.
Up to the teenies.
Naughties,
then teenies, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So first one was Born to be Wild, and they were like, oh, what's the band? I was like, I think it's a little known act called Steppenwolf, you know what I mean? And they were like, how do you know that? I'm like, well... If you want 70s music, boy, come to me. You know, Madonna, Get Into the Groove, things like that. But I quite liked it. I quite liked, you know, a song would come on for a second and I was straight away with a pen, you know. And people were going, wow, this is amazing. You're so good at this, you know what I mean? So anyway, we won. But the prize was sort of like a choice of three envelopes. One, you got two free cocktails. One, you got a meal for two. And one had the cash prize, which was like 76 quid. And I got the two cocktails, which arguably is the worst of the three.
Yeah.
Because also...
Unless those cocktails are 35 quid each, you're losing out.
And include food in the glass. You know, a roast in a martini cup.
How many in your team?
Six. So it had to be a team of six. So it was a friend's birthday, and there's a group of however many people there. I guess about 18, because we were in three teams. And yeah, but there was a guy there who was very loud, not in our group, on another table, and no one was laughing. And I was like, read the room. Do you know what I mean? I think it's relevant to say this. He was just, you know, after every question... Oh, is that the best question you got? You know, and it was like, no one's laughing. What are you? Shut up. You know what I mean? You could see people on his table getting embarrassed. But aside from him, lovely night.
That's good. Congratulations on your win.
Well, thank you very much. I just said, because it doesn't always go that way. You know, sometimes it'll be like, oh, who built the wall of China? I mean, that's the only wall, really.
I've got loads of questions about canals and...
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, anyway, that's good.
That's what I did last night. I mean, we are scraping the barrel of things to talk about.
We are a little bit.
I'll
move us swiftly on to snare drums.
Oh, yeah. Please.
And
bring
specifically,
the
Zildjian 400th anniversary snare drum.
Mm.
Don't know if we've ever brought this up on here before.
No, we haven't.
I'm not sure. Well, I'd seen it online. That Zildjian had made that, you know, it's their 400th anniversary. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
I think it was 2023 was their 400th anniversary. Yeah. Anyway, it spills on over. Anyway, but they made Zildjian, you know, you'll know this, famous for making cymbals.
Yeah, that is. They're quite famous for that.
But Uno, what's this? It's only a bloody snare drum.
Yeah, what a curveball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that ball is curved right around. So they've made this snare drum, right? And obviously there's not that many. that they've made.
How many are there? Do you know?
I couldn't find that out. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you my experience of the snare drum so far. When I was in New York, I went to Good Hands Drum Shop. And in there, they had one of them. They had one of them on a shelf, sort of protected. You know, don't touch, you know. And I'll just see. I can't remember if I got on a picture the price. No, it doesn't have the price now. It just says, please ask for assistance. I mean, it looks lovely.
Yeah.
Snare drum. So I was having a little look. And I went on old Graham Russell, the old G Russ. And they've, in fact, it's not out yet, or it's not over here yet at Graham Russell, but it says on their website, there's only two of these snare drums coming to the UK.
Right.
And both of them are going to Graham.
Yep.
He snapped them both, didn't he?
Yeah, of course he has.
Absolute lad. Absolute player. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's what he does.
Yeah.
What's on the back of that lorry? Just a load of Mapex armories.
Yeah.
Bring them here.
That's where you usually find Graham of a morning, you know.
Yeah.
Welcoming the ferries in.
At Dover.
Yeah, Dover, yeah.
That's why the queues are so bad.
Yeah. It's not. Graham. Is there a snare in here?
Yeah. What have we got in here? Washing machines. No. Just looking for crates of Mapex and Tama. Yeah. And he's like, oh, just, right, here's the postcode. Take him straight to Fairham. Anyway, both Graham Russell, one of them's already been sold. Someone has pre-ordered this. Now, how much are you willing to pay for a snare, George?
Well, considering the last one I bought was under 200 quid, I think it's tricky, isn't it? I think 500 for a snare that's like just a, you know, factory churned out snare. But I'd happily go up to 800, 900 for like a custom, this is my dream snare drum. But I think anything more than a grand, then I start going, is it worth it? You know what I mean?
I know exactly.
That's my take. Do you know what I mean?
Well, if you, you know, I know you worked a lot over Christmas, double pay and all that, you know, and you're clearly not spending any money on clothes because you're getting them out of the bin in Sandra's car.
Yeah, yeah.
Save up your pennies and you can get this snare drum for just shy of £5,000.
It's a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's bought one already.
I mean,
you gotta be getting good money. Splash on that.
Who do you reckon it is? If you are the person you're listening, please.
I'm pretty sure I could guarantee it's not a professional drummer. Do you know what I mean? It kind of. Really, they ain't banding that sort of money around willy nilly. You know, you're not gonna take that to Tithe Barn to play a wedding, or I know that's not the only professional drummer, but do you know what I mean? So it's got to be a collector of some sort. Maybe Graham bought it himself. Yeah, fuck you, I'm having one.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, we'll put a picture up. But
so anyway, the point of this is, it's weird that Zildjian have done a snare.
Yes, it is.
Is this just a one-time thing, or
it's for their 400th anniversary, isn't it? So, I think they just. Fuck the system. Let's make a snare.
Yeah.
But with cymbal metal and shit.
Maybe they listened to our episode with Eddie from Primus Drums and went, oh, hello. We could do that, you know.
Yes, someone I'm sure they did.
Someone up north in a shed is doing it. We're Zildjian, for God's sakes, you know. But as I said, is it expensive because they're not used to doing it? You know, they're used to doing cymbals. You know, it's like a pastry chef suddenly having to do a main course and they're going, I don't know how to reduce a sauce or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So, suddenly
so it's
going to
cost you £5,000.
Yeah, exactly. This is going to be an expensive sauce. You know, is it the same thing with them? They've had to hire someone that knows snares in.
Well, I think it's a combination of,
I mean, I'm sure they know people. If they're in the
I'm sure they got their fingers in the old pod drumming pie, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're fat, grubby fingers. I imagine because it's limited edition.
Yep,
there's not that many, from what I can tell. I mean, if only two are coming to the UK, It can't be more than 50 being made, I guess.
No.
Maybe. No. Probably, and to then make a short limited run like that.
Yeah.
Probably is very expensive, and there is an element of, yeah, scarcity.
It's funny, do you reckon
collector's edition sort of thing, isn't it? That's why did everyone love Shinies in the Panini sticker album? Because they were rare, and yeah, they looked beautiful.
Mm.
You know, you get a Kevin Pressman Shiny, you know, you're the king of year six.
Yeah, you are. Did you ever go to a swap shop?
Nah.
Did you
I
not?
Had a life.
Not joking. Did you? Mr. Lego
no, I didn't
man.
Actually.
No, oh, that was very good. I met Kevin Phillips. Do you remember Kevin Phillips?
Yeah, Kevin Phillips.
Because you had to get the last sticker at the back of the book. And if we're on about the same thing, I assume we're on about the same thing. The Premier League sticker albums.
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I didn't know if we were on about the cards. Because I swear there was cards for a bit.
No, stickers.
Yeah, stickers. Anyway, you had to go to Southampton. I think it was the football ground. We met Kevin Phillips, and you just swap all your swaps with other people and finish your book. And then you feel complete for a good few months after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you have to chase some other high, like drumming or something.
Or crack.
So, yeah, exactly. Because, yeah. Is there a better high?
I wonder what percentage of crack cocaine users did Panini sticker albums.
Yeah.
You know, one of them weird correlations.
Yeah. Like when you hear about, not to get too dark, but kids that were put on certain drugs, you know, and then they grew up and then became addicted to heroin because they're chasing some sort, not chasing.
Chasing
but
that sweet cowpole high.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
that was a good.
Well, this is it.
Good kids medicine.
Kurt Cobain was on Ritalin as a kid. They said that's why, you know, he became a junkie. Also, his wife didn't help, but that's another topic entirely. We've had some correspondence.
We have indeed.
Do you want to read it out? I haven't got it ready.
Sure.
Have you got it ready?
I've got it ready.
We can edit ready this anyway.
Jack has been in touch.
Yep.
Jackamus.
Yep. Jackamus.
Jackamus. Jackamus. _. Let's go in touch. He's sent us some a brackets unsolicited kit pick that we asked for, and he sent us some pictures which we will put up on the gram. Now Jack has set himself up a lovely little drum room.
Yeah,
very nice. So what he's got here is let's read the old email. In response to the request of listeners, I've attached a photo of my home studio that didn't have drums or a drum in it for 30 months ago. We've mentioned Jack on the show. Jack actually been listening to the pod, and he's actually started learning drums because of it. So he's got an acoustic kit, a Gretsch Catalina Club, one up, one down, and he's got the Evans DB1 heads and the Zildjian LAE cymbals, Hatch Crush and Ride. He's also said, I've started to convert the acoustic kit to an electric kit with internal triggers on the toms, something Jack has mentioned to us before when he's written in, but he's actually doing it. I'm enjoying playing it is right now, so we'll finish up the conversion later. He's also got himself a Roland TD-17 KV, which was the first kit that he started playing seriously. From that, he runs into Logic and records MIDI over USB, just using Logic's drum kit designer, and he can quantize the fuck out of the MIDI, so he actually sounds semi-competent. It's also sent in a bonus photo of some artist passes from the Wedgwood Drums when he played with Beer the Bang. Stuck in his guitar case, but he's got himself a lovely little. That's the sort of kit maybe you'd want, sort of, George, in it, size wise. Do you reckon, or would you go smaller? Because you mentioned about getting a smaller kit.
Yeah, definitely something like that.
But you see a lot of these.
No, I think that's perfect.
I see a lot of good words about the old Gretsch Catalina clubs.
Mm.
That's good. He's got them adjacent. He's got in his room, and he's got acoustic foam up on the walls. But he's also got like strip light in that runs all the way along
that's
the skirting boards
say.
And up
that's
over the door frames. It looks fantastic.
It does, yeah.
And then he's also got a computer set up.
We'll post them on the pod.
Big time. MIDI keyboard,
yeah.
Logic, some speakers, a microphone. He's living the bloody dream. It's fantastic.
Yeah, nice. Even a bit of artwork on the wall.
Bit of artwork on the walls. Classic sort of Persian rugs on the hard floor.
Yep.
Lovely little room, lovely little setup. Thanks for sending them in.
Lovely.
That is very nice indeed.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh, you got anything else, boy?
I'm doing a croissant making course on Sunday.
Right, hear about that? Okay, yeah.
Because we are scraping the barrel today. I mean, do you want to ask anything, or shall I?
The question is why?
Okay.
Was this something someone's forced you to do? When I say forced, I mean someone's gone, George, we're doing this. Or is this you've gone, I want to learn to make a croissant?
Well,
let's search out a course.
The first one. I wouldn't say forced, though. Basically,
was it a Christmas present?
Yeah, it was.
From?
Elfie. I've right. always liked the idea of doing a cookering course.
Is that because your name's Pickering?
Pickering, yeah.
George Cookering.
That'll be my name for the day. Now, you know what I mean? When it's like you go somewhere and they go, right, if you really want to learn how to make Thai food, get on this course, you know what I mean? Because they do them in Brighton. You'll walk past a place and they'll be like, hey, look, if you want to learn this. And... you know, I like baking. Sure. Anyway, Elfie's got me this day course making croissants and pain au chocolat in Kemp Town in a bakery. So basically after that, I'm going to go croissant crazy, I think, you know, and just make them all the time. But I like that idea because it's, you know, you can go on BBC Good Food. Sure. You can watch a video. But as we know... is a drum lesson in person better than signing up to Drumeo for a year? I don't know. I haven't got the answer for that. I mean, it is, but I haven't got the answer for that. So I thought maybe take the same approach to baking, you know what I mean? And it's a new year. And I'm always looking for new things to do. Maybe I'll be a baker this year. I won't. But, you know, maybe I'll bake on a professional level at last.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'd bloody love to see you on Bake Off.
Well, yeah. There was a guy one year who did look like me. I'll try and find him because it was a bit weird. You know, we can cut this out. Me looking for someone who looked like me on Bake Off. But other than that, I haven't got much. Look at him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the hat. It's the sort of hat you'd wear, isn't it?
It's the hat and the little bit of beard. He's fully tatted, though. I'm not fully tatted.
Are you going to get fully tatted?
No, I don't think so. Are you going to get any more?
Yeah.
I think you should get a face one.
I don't think so.
Just like a Mike Tyson thing. Or, you know, have the tattoo of hair. Tattoo a hairline. That would throw people off.
No, I think I'll just stick to the arms, really.
Yeah. Have you ever had legs?
No.
Done? No. I almost don't see the appeal.
Had legs. No, I think arms first.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a question of the old buns, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, you know,
it ain't cheap.
How full would you reckon you'd go? Do you reckon you'd go? Get a chest piece?
I think you got to go one step at a time.
Yeah, you have.
I think I don't think I'd ever go neck.
No.
I think, you know, fill the right arm up.
Mm.
See where we're at.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, light your drum kit, get another crash, then see where you're at.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? No, I was waited on by a very heavily tatted woman the other day, and she and I was looking at her going, you probably did that all in a year, or maybe in a few weeks, you know what I mean? It was like, it looked like it was all one big suit of tattoos, but I don't want to say, do you reckon she ever regrets it? But it was in quite a posh, I wouldn't say posh, we went out for lunch for my mum's birthday on Saturday, and...
Happy birthday, Sandra.
Happy birthday, Sandra, exactly. I was wondering, are people looking at her going, oh, because it's an interesting one, tattoos, isn't it? Because they are becoming more mainstream. I don't know if that's the word, you know.
Yeah, definitely more acceptable in society. Them.
Yeah.
Not now a surprise to go see a vet and they've got a tattoo, you know.
Yeah.
As you say, people working in restaurants or estate. I think they're just becoming more commonly acceptable.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But I think people, there will be people who will regret them.
Mm.
You know, I think people, they you got to take your time. Really think about it.
You got to take your time.
About what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What's the one you've got on your hip?
Oh, just it says Winter.
You've got Winter on your hip or something.
Yeah.
But do you regret that? Or is it like, I was young? It's funny.
I don't regret it because of the nature of the day involved getting it.
Yeah.
And it's basically always covered by a pair of pants.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because you wear your pants really high.
Huh?
Isn't it quite high up? It isn't like on your ass? Or is it on your ass?
It's on my hip.
Ah.
But where the pant, you know, boxers line. It's covered by boxers. I don't have to adjust my boxers.
Oh, that's good.
For it to be covered.
That's good. But
it's only little anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just going to give a shout out. Actually, to my godfather, Roger, because it was my dad's... I don't want to bring the mood down. I'll try and keep it up. But I had my dad's sort of memorial last Friday. Mm. So we weren't having a formal funeral, but we wanted to have an event where everyone else, you know, people could come and pay their respects and, you know, all that sort of stuff. It was an interesting one. So I really wasn't looking forward to it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Where did you have it again?
In the village, community centre in the village where we grew up.
Right. Yeah.
And we didn't know, you know, how many people were going to come or what the deal was. So we just, you know, put it out there that we're going to have this. We were getting a bit of, not pressure, but people asking about a funeral and... Just that wasn't something we were going to do. We were going to do something privately, but we wanted to have a place and an event where people could come and, I guess, communally grieve because, you know, friends and family and people we haven't seen or where they could come and essentially get their closure on my dad passing. And, you know, we weren't sure how many people were going to come or... what to sort of really do. So we made like, not like an invite, but a little flyer. It's not a gig, but you know, say what it was and where it was. And we sent it out to some people who had reached out to us. And it was really quite an amazing little event, really. I think someone reckoned there was about 120 people turned up. And it was just for a couple of hours, and obviously, man, some people travelled from like Yorkshire and Jersey and Cornwall and Cambridge to come pay their respects to my dad, and we'd set up a little memorial table with a few of his naval things and a book people could sign, and you know, family came down, so my auntie, my cousins, my dad's cousin came from Jersey, and some you know, friends of mine and some old school friends of mine and my brothers, and people from the village, people from the pubs, lots of people from the Navy. It was really nice, and just seeing so many people. But yeah, I saw one of my godfathers, Roger. I hadn't seen him maybe since I was a child, and I wanted to give him a shout out because he went, "Oh, I've been listening to your podcast."
No way.
So his shout out to Roger, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And he's just started learning guitar.
Cool.
So we had chat about that. And one thing that did make me laugh, with all the surrealness of it being, you know, my dad's memorial or whatever, he said, "Oh yeah, I was listening to one and you quoted Clive Owen from Extras." And I had to just go and watch that episode straight away. it was a very weird, it was surreal. I guess for a lot of people, it's the first time I'd seen them since
it
happened. So obviously, they are a lot of people offering condolences and things like that. And not to say that I'm over it, because I'm not.
Mm.
But for me, it's like, it's been like a constant for 6 or 7 weeks or whatever it's been.
Mm.
And so much has happened in that time that it kind of felt like this weird time delay of like, oh, they're only just, this is, but I think, not to say we didn't do it for us, because we did, but to do it for other people so they could come and get their closure, they could say goodbye, they could pay their respects, they could see us and let us know. So, it was good to get it done. And out the way, in a way, but I think good for everyone else, and so they can all now move on. And but it was lovely to see so many people there, and I think it's a real shame, because I'd loved my dad to have seen it. Sorry.
No, it's all right.
Oh, fucking hell! It can hit you at any time. But no, it was a really nice event. Great to see so many people. And I guess, sort of a stark reminder, really, of the reality of it. But
maybe almost because you haven't had a chance to stop. You know what I mean? It's like, maybe it hits more now. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you have to get on with stuff, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, you have to do things, and I think sometimes you, and that's not that you feel guilty, but you, I guess, for that period of time, maybe you're gigging or working or just watching films or things like that, you kind of, you know, it puts your mind in a different place. But then, yeah, it doesn't mean to say you're not, you got to allow yourself those moments.
Yeah,
because I think, you know, even like Neil came along, and I saw him yesterday, and he said to me as well, he said to me yesterday, like, oh, that was a reality hit for him as well. And I think it's as people and as humans, we're very good at adjusting, we're very good at going with the flow. And I think even if you look back to like COVID, actually, whilst it was all fucked up and shit, like how quickly you adjust to a lockdown, and then actually coming out of them, how quickly you adjust to going back to normal, you know, normal in inverted commas. And I think for us as a family, it's kind of, okay, well, this is our reality now. And so you kind of just not just get on with stuff, but it becomes the norm every day for us. And actually for other people, when it's someone maybe you don't see all the time, so they're you know, let's say someone's there who hasn't seen my dad for maybe 6 months.
Mm.
Well, it's not uncommon to not see him, if you see what I mean. Mm. And so that was their opportunity to come and essentially like acknowledge what had happened. Whereas for us, it's been a daily thing.
Mm.
But you can easily, I think from my point of view, you could easily get used to the, you could get used to the reality of it, which can then actually take away from the gravitas of the actual situation. Yeah, what happened was shocking and it was, you know, a bit of a tragedy and it's actually a very big thing. It's a very big part of your life, like a parent passing and in such a, I guess, sudden and unexpected way. But then it, you know, on Friday itself, I kind of, I didn't feel sad. Like, you know, it was great to see. I was just caught up in this complete whirlwind, really, of just seeing so many people from, you know, from my past. There's like, you know, family, friends from the village who, you know, one woman who I used to work for selling strawberries.
Mm.
She was there, you know, had a chat with her, and people whose sons were quite influential in me picking up drums and stuff, because my friend, they had older brothers who played music, or, you know, my dad's cousin from Jersey who, they owned the first drum kit I played to prove to my parents I wanted to learn drums. And, you know, some people from school and some brothers, friends, I haven't seen these people, so you're sort of bouncing around from people to people. And in a way, like, it was just very nice to sort of, you know, I hadn't seen my cousins for a good while, so it was good to see them and what they're up to and things. And it was quite easy to avoid the sort of stark nature of why we were all there. From my point of view, maybe it was different for those, I think at the end of the day, it's still like, oh yeah, it's shit.
yeah.
So yeah, and I didn't expect that to come on all of a sudden, but
no, it's okay. I mean, it comes in waves, doesn't it? It really does. There's no knowing.
Yeah.
And also that is a, you know, I don't know, sad thought to have. But 120 people there, you know, and it's a good celebration of him, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But
Well, let's wrap up.
Yeah. Well done there.
Thanks, mate. Oh, yeah, sorry for that.
No, don't apologize.
But if nothing, we are real.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, enjoy your croissant course.
I will.
I look forward to tasting a tasty croissant made by the hands of George Cookering.
This is it. I will. We'll enjoy that. What are you doing today?
I've got some mixing to do. Sort of, yeah, I should have spoken about this really, but did a bit of mixing with Neil last week, because we mix quite independently, but wanted to see, we're working on this new Victoriana promo, and we thought it'd be a good idea to just do some mixing together, just exchange like ideas, what we'd been, things a little we'd found and things like that. And Neil really had some cool tricks for mixing drums that dealt with really maximizing like the ambient microphones of the drum room and stuff like that. So I'm mixing a new Rocket Complex song, and I've got a template because I've already done one, and it was like, okay, I'll just could follow the same sort of template. But I was like, do you know what, last night I was like, I'm just gonna spend a couple of hours just almost experimenting with implementing some of these mixing tricks into this new song, and that was quite fun actually doing that. So I'm gonna do a bit more of that. And I got some bands in rehearsing tonight. Some classics, nice. The Media and Young Pine.
Classic, in. That is classic.
As people start their new year again.
Yeah.
First week, no one gave a shit about bands. You know, it's too early. The 3rd of January is too early to rehearse. but we'll come in and do the week after. So, yeah, other than that, really, just, yeah, just mix in and get this pod edited.
Nice. We'll do something nice as well. Watch a film and make some Lego or something.
Yeah. I think it's that distract, like, you know, Jacko's coming in a bit from Bury tomorrow to do some practice. It's just when you see people, that's always good, you know.
Yeah. Well, this is the one time I wish we weren't on Zoom. It'd be good if we were in the same room.
Yeah.
Giving you a hug or something, you know.
Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah. It comes and goes. That's the thing, really, isn't it? And when it comes, you just got to
go with it. Yeah, literally.
Got to go with it. And yeah, I got a pretty nice week, really. Just looking after rehearsals and getting this mix done. And yeah, and I think I've got the weekend off, because I think Neil's in the studio recording all weekend. So definitely get some Lego on the cards.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. Big time, boy. Oh, boy.
Nice.
We have a good week. Everyone else have a good week out there.
Yes.
And yeah, if anyone's got more kit picks, send them in.
Yeah.
And yeah, get
or
in touch.
Send in anything. Just, there was something else we said. Oh, if you were the one that bought the snare, let us know.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we should all chip in and get one. And we can own it as a community.
Yeah. Drummer community. I mean, we've got, you know, we had 5,000 downloads.
100 quid each, 50 people.
Yeah.
We all have it 1 week a year.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I want the second week of September. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Drum and Drummer. You can find us on Instagram at Drum and Drummer Podcast. And you can send us an email to drumanddrummerpod@gmail.com. Remember, just pick up the sticks and twat it.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.